Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Republic Education Call for the United States of America and our Republican form of self-government for February 13, 2025 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. I am Phyllis Marie, and I'll get this call started with a message from John 20, verse 19 and 21. In John 14, verse 27, peace be with you. Ever since the resurrection, this has been my watchword to those who yearn for me. As you sit quietly, let my peace settle over you and enfold you in my loving presence. To provide this radiant peace for you, I died a criminal's death. Receive my peace abundantly and thankfully. It is a rare treasure. Dazzling in delicate beauty, yet strong enough to withstand all onslaughts. Wear my peace with real dignity. It will keep your heart and mind close to mine. We've got some background noise there. We the people of the Republic are peaceful, lawful, and private. Our declaration says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And with that, Daryl, I'll let you open it up, and then you can turn it over to Marilyn. Change your role, though.
Where before? As
okay,
I had,
now.
What's that?
I'm sorry, Daryl. I still had you muted. Start at the beginning.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, welcome everybody to tonight's call. Tonight, the attachments that are on the bottom, we're really not any different than we're on here a few weeks ago, because I guess I was overwhelmed and it kind of just got put together. Phyllis helped me with it, so she kind of put it together. So anyway, but there's still a lot of good stuff, a lot of links that a guy can look over if you're interested. But other than that, Marilyn, I'll turn it over to you, and you can introduce the speaker. I yield.
Thank you, Daryl. Those documents that are the attachments that you have are phenomenal. There's a one that's a large 35-page on borax. Everybody's got to read them, okay? Yeah. It's my pleasure to introduce our presenter for the second time, our favorite chocolatier, Jay Casey. He's full of information and agreed to share some important health secrets tonight. Jay works with people one-on-one, and he guides them through their challenges if you're interested. So this is how Jay works with his clients. Send him a card, a letter, a postcard, a note, a document if you want to. Send him something with your name, address, and phone number. And then Jay will call you when he's available and chat with you about your issues. So this is how you address the envelope. His name is Jay Casey, J-A-Y-C-A-S-E-Y. His address is 29 Maple Avenue. and that's in Middletown, Rhode Island. The zip is 02842. So remember, ask one or two questions of general character and wait for Jay's answer. The personal questions are addressed at another time after you send Jay your personal phone in, number and information. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. I'm going to the refrigerator to get some chocolate as you're listening. Jay, come step forward. We want to hear everything you've got to say tonight.
Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Enjoy. I love hearing that. I hope everyone is well. I hope everyone is ready to learn. If you don't have a pen and a piece of paper, please grab one. A lot of the information that I'm giving is going may come out fast, it may come out slow, but it's terrible when you miss the details. Most of you know who I am, some of you don't. Some of you have been in contact with me recently, and some of you, I'm sure, are waiting for me to get back to you. In the meantime, for those that are new, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I was a suffering, hurting unit about 17 years ago. I had driven myself into the ground. My heart was failing. I was mercury toxic. The list of things that were going wrong with me is huge. I had a choice. I could either seek help, and the medical industry wasn't doing me any good, or I could try and learn this on my own. Learning this stuff on your own is extremely difficult. I don't honestly recommend it. If you can find someone to help you, please do. If I can, I certainly will. There's no class in school that says how to take care of a human being. You're all expected to just know. The doctors spend a very small amount of time taking in the general information that leads to your day-to-day health. They're usually very specialized, going into a particular field or a particular organ or system. The general care and maintenance of a human being should definitely be a book that somebody's going to write. When I started to learn how to take care of myself, I started to recover. And just to give a general idea of how hard it is to learn this stuff, I'm going to throw some names at you. Michael Jackson, John Wayne, Leonardo DiCaprio. Those names are all very common. You all recognize them. They're all world famous names, I hope. But if I said to you, Joel Wallet, Russell Blaylock, Peter Glidden, Johanna Budwig, are those names very familiar to you? Because those are world famous doctors. Those are Nobel Prize winners. Okay? I would rather know about the doctors in this day and age that we're living in than the other famous people out there. I'm usually not a guy who goes into long monologues, but I've spent 17 years studying and digging and learning about this stuff. And that's not unusual. A lot of people do this. What is unusual is I'm willing to share it with you just for the asking. So, does anybody out there have any questions that deal with health and maintenance of taking care of a human being? If you could cure any disease you wanted, which would it be?
Okay, if there are questions, you need to do a *6 and a number 1 to raise your hand. If you're on the phone, there's another way to do that, I think.
You mean if you're on the computer?
Right. Okay, I have one question here from Ira. You've been unmuted.
Yes, I'd like to know, how do you deal with yellow nail syndrome?
How do I deal with yellow nail syndrome? There's a lot of things you can use for the nails. Generally, my go-to for the nails is tea tree oil. Okay, the other question is, what is turning your fingernails yellow? This is something that I see every once in a while. It's not very common.
Yeah, it's not very common. What happens is you get liquid in your lungs so you can't breathe. You get edema in your legs and feet. You get brain fog, and it really messes you up.
Okay. So what have you used to date? Have you found anything on your own? Can you eliminate a few things for me? Because I've got stuff running through my head, but if you've already tried it, I don't want to just go after it.
Well, we've already tried a couple of fungicides that haven't worked. A lot of antibiotics that haven't worked. And the only way I'm able to function right now is on prednisone and on something to make me urinate.
Yeah. So you use what? Store-bought antifungals?
No, I'm talking about the prescribed ones.
Right.
I've used store-bought,
right.
And I've used a number of different tea tree and different combinations of oils, and it hasn't worked.
All right. Have you had a CBC with differential done?
A what?
A CBC with differential. Has that been done on you?
I'm not sure what that is.
All right, that's a medical test where they're going to test you for a whole bunch of things. It's a type of blood work.
Yeah, I've had a lot of blood work done.
All right,
and
one of the things
they also came up with, I have some markers for rheumatoid arthritis.
There we go. Tell me about your skin.
Well, the skin on my feet and legs has turned white. And the rest of my skin is a nice sort of just normal, almost light brown, pink color.
Okay, good. All right. If I were you, I would look into, actually, where are you calling from?
Hmm?
Hello? Where are you calling
where
from?
Where are you?
I'm calling from Oregon. Brownsville, Oregon. Brownsville, Oregon.
Got you. Thank you. You have plenty of forests out there. I'm going to give you some notes to take. You're looking for birch polypore, which you should have a ton of. It's a mushroom. It grows on birch trees, both white and yellow. You should have chaga available as well. And you should also have a mushroom called horse's hoof available as well. We're going to start with the most potent one, horse's hoof. That's the name of a mushroom. The name of a mushroom. And what you're going to do is you're going to require all three of these mushrooms. If you can find somebody who knows mushrooms, these all grow wild in your area. Okay? You want to start with the birch polypore. You're going to grab yourself a chunk of that. Usually finding one about the size of your palm is not that hard. When you get it, you're going to let it dry. Okay, once it's dried, you're going to grind it into a powder. Okay, it doesn't have to be ultra fine, but the finer you grind it, the better it's going to work for you. Okay, You're going to check this mushroom. You're going to find out it's listed as inedible. It's not poisonous. It will not hurt you, but it's very difficult for your body to digest. You're going to start with a pinch of that at a time. You're going to take a pinch. You're just going to wash it down with water. You're going to treat it like it's a pill. Okay? You're going to do that for 3 days. Then you're going to take 2 pinches for 3 days. Now, you will get all the way up to the point where you're taking basically a 3-fingered pinch at a time. In other words, a decent amount. You're going to stay there.
Yeah.
Once you're doing this, you're going to collect the other mushrooms. When you're all done, when you find all 3 of these mushrooms and you've ground them all into a powder, you're going to combine all 3 of them. And you're going to do the same thing.
I've got the birch. What was the second part of it?
Birch polypore.
Polypore.
Birch polypore.
Oh, pore.
Yep.
Okay, and what was the second one? I got the horse's hoof.
Okay, chaga. C-H-A-G-A. You'll be able to find a ton of information in chaga.
Okay. I've had some suspicion that what I have needs to be fought with mushrooms from the start. So this kind of confirms what my thinking's been.
Yeah, mushrooms have to fight off other fungi. Okay, they're usually not friendly to one another. Okay? You're starting with the birch polypore. Birch polypore is antimicrobial, antiparasitic, and antifungal. Okay? It's not the strongest one you're getting, but it's definitely one you want to start with. It'll dry out the fastest, and you'll be able to use it the quickest. The horse's hoof will dry slower, okay? But the horse's hoof is actually more, more potent. And chaga is for your entire system. Chaga is probably the most potent one. So what you're actually doing is you're allowing your body to adjust to this. The research behind this came out of Russia about 2.5 years ago. Okay, I'm not sure if you'll still find it, but by all means, look for it. And what they were looking for was a powerful antiviral versus COVID at the time. And they discovered some very interesting properties in these mushrooms.
Well, I thank you a lot for your information.
Well, you're welcome. Send me a card when you get a chance. I'd like to follow this with you if I can.
Okay. I didn't write down your address.
We'll repeat it at the end.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Yep, have a pen and paper ready. Anybody else have any questions?
Yeah, I've got another one.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Daryl. Go ahead with your question if you have one, and then we've got one from Prisma.
Okay, well, go ahead with Charisma. If there's nobody has a question, then I'll add one.
Go ahead, Charisma.
Okay, hi there. I have a question about MS.
Yes.
How does one help a person heal from MS?
Well, the question you want to ask somebody who has MS. Is to the question you want to ask is take me through your average day. In other words, everybody has a routine that they follow. And I'll give you a couple of quick examples. I had one woman who was suffering terribly, and I asked her to take me through her average day. And she described getting up and showering and what she had for breakfast. And then stopping at the store to pick up 2 2-liter bottles of Diet Coke.
Ooh.
That she's going to take that to work every day, and that's her drink. all day long while she's in work. And she does this 6 days a week. And I think you can see the problem there. She's overloading herself with, you know, sugar and artificial sweeteners and just an entire list. I had her stop drinking that altogether. Okay. And she blew up my wife's phone at the time to tell her how fast she was recovering from her symptoms. I had another person, and she told me that going through her average day, that she would get up, have breakfast, take a long shower, and dress and go to work. She didn't have to be to work till 9, so she would stop at Dunkin' Donuts and have a large Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And then she would get to work, and she would fire up the coffee pot. And I asked her, you know, well, what do you do in work if you're not drinking the Dunkin' Donuts coffee? And she goes, oh, I have the creamers that they have in the store. You can buy those, she said. And I have a stock of the different sugars for everybody to use. And basically, her life was full of preservatives as well. And I had her make a couple of quick changes to what she was doing on a daily basis. And she recovered very quickly. A lot of times with MS, you're looking for a level of toxicity that's put in a small amount, but it's put in enough times during the week where it has a cumulative effect. Okay? What that does is it weakens the body, and it just sets you up for failure, so to speak. All the stuff that your body can't digest and can't handle chemically, okay, either builds up in your system and reaches a toxic point or gets excreted. If it gets excreted, that's fine. But if it builds up, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the first thing you look at is what's repetitively poisoning you. Okay, that's one of your starting points. One of the things that can mask as MS is a parasitic infection in the lymph of the body. Okay, for that, again, you're going to be looking for a CBC with differential, and what you're looking at is the monocytes. And you're looking for perfect monocytes would be less than one. Okay, if they're high, 7 or more, then that can point to a parasitic infection somewhere in the body. Does that help?
The fellow who I'm thinking of has had MS for about 15 years, and yeah, maybe about 12 years and he's pretty health conscious.
Okay. So if he's health conscious and he's not poisoning himself on the regular, has he cleared himself of parasites? Has he gone down that road to make sure that his body is clear of them?
That I don't know. I know that he was doing some colon hydrotherapy treatment and cleansing that way.
Right. So when you cleanse the entire body, it's quite a bit different than cleansing a particular system or set of organs. Okay. We've all heard of a liver cleanse. We've all heard of a bowel cleanse. We've all heard of a kidney cleanse. But when you're dealing with something like MS, you want to do the entire lymphatic system all at once, which is basically your whole body.
And how would one do that?
First, I would do the testing and make sure that we're going down the right path. I would check the monocytes and, you know, take a look at those tests. And make sure that we're not wasting our time. Okay, to do a parasite cleanse and you don't have parasites is generally harmless, so long as you're not going really extreme into it. But if it's not, if we're not going in the right direction, you know, you can, you can't test for parasites themselves, but you can test for their waste products and their impact on the body. And it doesn't matter where they are at that point. Okay? And this, the CBC with differential will give you that. It'll tell you how your body's responding to it, and it will also tell you what byproducts are left behind. I always tell everybody, if you're not sure, a parasite cleanse is not going to kill you. You have to understand they may be unpleasant sometimes, but for the most part, they're not truly harmful to you. And I always tell people, if you have a dog, part of your responsibility as a dog owner is you deworm your dog once, twice a year. Okay, that's expected of you. But nobody ever deworms themselves. Nobody does that for themselves.
Except for the farmers. They know.
Yes.
The old-time farmers.
Yes, and the thing of it is, if, I always tell everybody, if you're really wondering, do a parasite cleanse. It's your poop. Check your own poop and see if it's working. You don't need any medical help to look at your own poop and figure it out. A lot of times when you do a parasite cleanse, what you're looking for is something that looks like little white hairs in your poop. And what that is dead parasites coming out.
Yeah.
So I tell everybody, at that point, just keep going till you can't see anything. Do it a couple more days beyond that, and then, you know, you now know how to check. One of the things I'm a very firm advocate of is that you're in charge of your own health. Okay, you are in charge of it. So if you make a mistake and you need to fix it, you need to fix it. But if you find that you're on the right path, and that's where you want to go. You know, when you spend 8 minutes with a doctor, okay, but you spend the entire day with yourself, who's going to know more about you? The doctor in 8 minutes or yourself in 24 hours?
Exactly.
So, for a parasite cleanse, I recommend black walnut, clove, and a plant called Artemisia or wormwood. And if you want to check for more information on that, you're going to check into Dr. Hulda Clark.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yep.
She is the parasite cleanse queen. And one of the things she said that I really enjoyed in her books was that everything that lives inside of you that isn't benefited, is not benefiting you, okay, is harming you. And that everything qualifies as a parasite at that point. So a lot of her work became very interesting when you understood that mindset. You know, it didn't have to be, you know, a classic nematode or, you know, things like that. It was just about anything that attacked your body could be treated as a parasite. One of the interesting things is you hear all the time about these resistant strains. MRSA is a resistant strain. Candida auris is a resistant strain. And when you check into them, what makes them so resistant to the antibiotics is the fact that they have parasitic traits. And when they're threatened, they use those parasitic traits to hide in your body until the antibiotic is no longer in your system. And then they literally come right back to life.
Yes, they have a really capacity to lie dormant, huh?
Yes, and those are the parasitic qualities showing themselves. So that being said, they also have the vulnerabilities that go with the parasitic qualities. So that you can attack them as a parasite and a protozoa. And that is an actually nice thing to know. A lot of times when I treat people for things, I will treat them for both, treat in two different ways, targeting the parasitic qualities and targeting their other qualities. This way here, there's no hide and seek. Lyme is a perfect example. Lyme is an expert with the hide and seek.
Oh, I had it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Are you fully rid of it?
That's a good question. You know, it does have a really good job of hiding. But I would say it's I don't have any symptoms from it at this point, but it still could be some in my system.
Good. So long as it's not manifesting, that's fine. I just had it in my knee again, because you can get it more than once. And I actually played around with it for quite a while, you know, trying to find what works well on it. Okay. I did find some interesting stuff. The ginger powder, if you make a poultice of the ginger powder around your infected knee, you will get rid of a lot of the swelling very quickly.
Oh, nice to know.
Oh, yeah, very, very nice to know. When you get Lyme in your back and that inflammation is crippling, that's a really nice thing to know. The birch polypore mushrooms that I just went over a moment ago, if you take that and you process that and you add it to the ginger, now you have something that's attacking as an antiviral, an antimicrobial, and an antiparasitic. And what I do at that point is my poultice is not done with water at that point. I usually do it with a carrier oil, and I found that castor oil draws that into the joint very well. And that will take you from the giant swollen knee, crippled, unable to walk, to able to get up and walk to the bathroom in 2 days. Now, not everybody's going to be impressed by that, but if you've had Lyme, that's very impressive.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I only had it for 7 days before being treated. I was very fortunate.
Good. The last time I had it, my bursa sac fused to the muscles in my knee. So I lost some mobility for quite a while. I didn't have full mobility in my knee, which is frustrating. Well, the day it started to tear itself free, oh my God. It felt like somebody had a crowbar underneath my kneecap and was trying to tear it off. And it took almost a month for that feeling to subside. And it would flare up and then disappear, and then flare up, and then disappear. But it took almost a month for that to tear itself free and go back to normal. Well, the reason that it did that was because when the Lyme spirochetes go dormant, they calcify the tissue around them to create an eggshell that nothing can get through. And
it's a bioweapon, huh?
Oh, yeah. Years ago, I was at a meeting, and one of the guards from Plum Island actually came to our meeting, and he was actually on the run because he was there when that stuff was going on.
Wow.
See, apparently what they forgot was that birds can fly. And even though they were on an island, when the birds got infected, they kept on migrating, kept on doing what they normally did. And one of the things that he noticed was that after a year of being there, there were no more birds. Absolutely no more birds. And that's a very telling thing. That's just... That's an unbelievable thing for an island to have no birds on it.
Wow.
Yep.
Do you have a practice? Could somebody reach out to you and give you a call?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't give out my phone number. What I do is I give out my address. And what you do is you send me a card or a letter that has your contact information on it, and I will get back to you. And the reason I have to do it. Okay, good.
That makes total sense. Okay.
Yeah, that's absolutely how I have to do it. If I just take phone calls from people with questions, I'll never get off the phone.
Yep.
I won't. I get about 500 emails a day.
Wow.
Which I can't keep up to. I absolutely can't keep up to. So I have to slow it down to something that I can handle. And I may not give you a call for a day, a week, a month, because I know that when I get on the phone with you, you're going to want an hour, 2 hours at a time, which is perfectly all right. But I'm not going to call you when I only have 5 minutes to talk to you.
Okay, do we have any other questions?
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay, if there's no other questions in the queue, this is Daryl, Colorado. And I got a friend that called me, and he was headed up to Pueblo to do some tests, and his readings, like on his kidneys, they want to put him on dialysis, was down to the number like 6 or 7. And
yep.
What would you suggest to try to get that reversed naturally?
Okay, the first thing you want to do immediately is to take warm water, a full tablespoon of baking soda, put it in the water and drink it. Okay, your kidneys are responsible for alkalizing your blood, taking the acid out of your blood. One of the reasons that your kidneys fail is because they're overloaded. Our environment is severely toxic right now. Okay, so kidneys, liver, detoxification organs, they're actually overloaded. There's actually a genetic quirk that we're seeing more and more where people are born with a liver that's almost twice the size of normal. Research that. You're gonna be like, wow, we're evolving to survive in poison. The baking soda and water supplies two things. It supplies sodium, two molecules of carbon. It's an alkalizer. It'll take pressure off of his kidneys. When you go to have dialysis done, baking soda and water is what they use to clean the machinery. Okay? So if anybody tells you that this sounds crazy or it might be toxic, bear that in mind. Get pH strips for the urine, okay, and keep track. If you can get yourself into an alkalized state, your kidneys will recover on their own. Okay, if you can't do that, they will continue to fail.
How alkaline should a guy try to maintain? 7 or 8 or?
You want to be just above 7, like 7.2, 7.3. 8 is a push. If you can get to 8, I'm okay with that, but you shouldn't have to push that hard. You'll start to recover slightly after 7. Okay. And you're going to want to use the pH strips. Make sure you're staying within that range if you can. If you find that you absolutely cannot stay in that range, contact me. Okay, I'm not going to recommend anything that might be potentially harmful. And I want you to use something that's perfectly safe. Okay, if it takes more than that, then it takes more than that. But I absolutely am not going to recommend some of the stronger stuff to push you in that direction.
Did you say 1 teaspoon of baking soda or 1 tablespoon?
Depends on the weight of the person. A teaspoon is for somebody who weighs 100 pounds. A tablespoon is for somebody who weighs 200 pounds or more.
Okay.
All right. And just about everything in your life is dose dependent. You wanna start learning what your body can handle and what it can't. I've got clients that are amazingly fragile. They can't handle apple cider vinegar. Okay, because they're incredibly fragile. And I have other people who could drink a half gallon of whiskey along with a half gallon of apple cider vinegar, and they wouldn't even notice it. So everybody's different when it comes to dosages. If somebody tells you that one size fits all, they're probably wrong. But I would definitely start with that.
Yeah. You think just the baking soda, like cranberry, straight cranberry juice, or anything like that, be beneficial?
Yep. Well, let me explain something to you about cranberry juice. If you go to buy cranberry juice and it hasn't discolored the glass that it's in, it's useless. Don't bother. Okay, don't use it. And
okay,
if it's crayon apple, crayon grape, crayon anything else, if it's all we want is straight cranberry, if you can get it not from concentrate, that's better as well. What you're looking for when you go to buy it is it needs to discolor the glass. Just pick it up, turn it to the side, and look through the glass. If the glass is discolored, that's the one you want. Okay? Because what you're looking for, the benefit of cranberry juice is it's a binder, a very good, strong binder. And it binds to toxins very, very well. Once they're bound, they're harmless. That's why cranberry juice protects your kidneys so well. Okay? Cranberry juice protects your kidneys, but it's not going to make them heal. The body has to be kept in a mild alkaline state if the kidneys have a chance to heal.
Okay. Vinegar, is that like apple, like your, that Bragg's vinegar, anything like that be beneficial?
Yes, in small amounts. And you're using that as a probiotic. So you always hear that you want apple cider vinegar with the mother. The mother is actually the lump of bacteria that are growing the acetate, excreting the acetate to make the vinegar. It's that live culture that's actually helping you. That can plant inside of your gut, and it has a wonderful talent. It takes alcohol and it turns it into acetate. You know that anything that ferments produces alcohol. Your digestive tract is slow enough to allow a small amount of alcohol to develop. Your body only wants a small amount of alcohol. So this is your offsetting microbe to that, I guess I should say. Too much of either one is bad. Not enough of either one is bad. That's why apple cider vinegar is so valuable to your system. It's the probiotic value, not the vinegar itself.
Okay. Are you okay?
Is that okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jay.
You're welcome.
Brian? In New York, you're next.
Okay, Jay, this is Brian in New York. Quick question. Someone earlier asked for nails. No nails can be a sign of old. I have a question related to toenails. And I was wondering if there's any materials, videos, or books that go into detail. I mean, I've seen some information basically in the could be kidney, it could be liver issues, okay, fungus from whatever. Is there any specific tests that you might recommend or where to find out about would be worth?
Yes. You can look it up. Unfortunately, I can't memorize all of them, but there's a whole bunch of different things that go on with your fingernails. Because they grow so slowly, they're a snapshot into your physical state. Anybody who's had surgery knows that they usually wind up with a line in their fingernail from their surgery. And what it's showing is that there's a big change in your body's system for a day or 2 days, whatever, however long it took you to recover from the anesthesia, believe it or not. But it clearly shows in your nails. The fact that they're brittle, that they're striated, that they have lines in them. But you need to look that up if you want to see what the story that your fingernails are trying to tell you. Okay? As far as toenails and toenail discoloration, you always look to fungus first. Okay? Now, I'm assuming you're not a diabetic, so we're not in any danger of any of that going on with your feet, right?
As far as I know, yeah. I haven't been in any physician in quite a while, but I have no issue. My fingernails are great. You know, they're pink. They got white moons and all that. Yeah, very nice. But my toenails are just the opposite.
Really?
And I've noticed worse last several months. So.
All right. Where are you now?
I'm in New York, upstate New York.
All right, good. Take off your shoe.
Okay, I've got my shoe. I've got just half sandals on anyway.
All right, no, that's perfect. That's actually good. The more your feet breathe, the better off you are. I want you to look at the bottom of your foot. Is it pink or is it white?
There, I have an issue with the bottom of my feet as well. Basically on a white, and there are issues with them cracking as well.
Okay.
Well,
gotcha.
It's fine. But it's not perfect. I still got a mother, and she has beautiful feet. Almost 100.
Awesome.
So
your feet are always white?
No, my feet aren't always white.
Okay, so I want you.
Right now, the pigs, but they're whatchamacallit. They are tough, and they are. They're not necessarily smooth. They're not bad now because I put something to make it, you know, soften it up a little bit. But the bottom line is, yes, I have issues with my feet.
Okay. So foot issues are a lot of different things. They can be attacked by parasites. You can start losing circulation to them. There's a million things that can go wrong for your feet. But your feet are the one of the things that tells me all about you. Okay? You want your feet to be, you know, normal colored on the top and bright pink on the bottom. You don't want the heavy, scaly buildup. You want your toenails to grow out relatively clean and even. I mean, they're never perfect because you beat them up every day. Okay? That being said, I'm gonna ask you to send me a letter because I'm gonna need pictures. Either that, or I'm gonna need to come and visit you.
Okay.
Because it's impossible to diagnose like this over the phone. The best I can do is tell you. Do you know how to do a cap refill test on your feet?
What kind of test?
A cap refill. I want you to find a pink spot on your feet somewhere.
All right.
You got it? All right. Now I want you to take your finger and thumb and just pinch it for 8 seconds.
Okay.
And then I want you to let it go. I want you to let it go, and I want you to count 1,001, 1,002, 1,003 until it's all the way back to pink, like you never pinched it.
All right.
What did you get to?
Three. Looks like about 5. That's on the top of my right foot.
All right. If you're in really good health, that should be a count of 1. And what that's telling me is your circulation, your lower circulation is extremely poor. And that leaves you open to infection because without blood flow, you don't have a good immune system down there. So probably, and the other thing is, go up your leg, okay, and give me an idea of how far up your leg this goes.
Well, that goes up close to my knee. It's funny you should mention that. Both legs.
Okay. Have you been diagnosed with heart issues?
No, but then again, I haven't been diagnosed in a long time, so.
All right, when you get up in the morning, do you bounce out of bed and start going, or do you get out of bed slowly?
I used to jump out of bed literally. So no, I don't get right out of bed.
All right, when you go to tie your shoes and you bend over, when you sit back up, are you dizzy?
No, but I have I'm winded.
Pardon me?
I'm winded. I had these shoes I bought recently at a store, and they don't have any. You have to put your foot in from top. There's no anything like them. I got to return them. There's no the hooks or whatever to pull up the shoe. I spent half trying to get some things on, and I was very winded. Almost had a heart attack.
Okay, well, we're going to stop you. We're going to stop you from having a heart attack, okay? Because I like you. I've only spoken to you a little bit, but I kind of like you. I'd rather keep you alive for a little bit longer.
All right.
You have your pen and paper in hand?
Yes.
All right. You're going to increase your vitamin C intake to 4,000 milligrams per day. Basically 4 grams.
Okay.
If this gives you diarrhea, I'm sorry. Okay? At minimum, 4 grams per day. You're going to take... Got it? You're going to take... You have good quality cayenne pepper?
What type of pepper?
Cayenne pepper, the red one.
Yes. Well, I'll pick some up.
Yes. And you want high quality. Wherever you gotta go, don't get garbage. You will not be happy. Okay, I want you to go get some of that.
How do you know if it's good quality?
Well, price. I hate to say it, is a good indicator. If you've got a spice exchange or a chef's supply, okay, somebody who actually sells real spices instead of the Stop and Shop on sale stuff.
Okay,
that's what you want to get. If you can't get it, get what you can get. You're going to take a half a teaspoon, you're going to put that in a cup of water, and you're going to drink it. You're going to drink that every 4 hours. Got it? You're probably not going to be able to... Every 4 hours. Do you have eggs?
Yes.
Stop cooking them. Take them in a shake form. Stop cooking your eggs. Start taking them raw. Okay, there's two key amino acids in the eggs. Eggs are a very complete protein, and we need to rebuild your heart, and we need to do it quickly. So I can't have you deficient in lysine or proline while we do this process. How much do you weigh?
I have 225.
225. You need to eat 5 raw eggs per day.
Wow.
I don't care if you do it all at once. I don't care if you do it in the course of the day. However you want to do it. It's perfectly all right. Your minimum requirement.
Got to be mixed with anything, or alone?
No, you can mix them with anything you want. But they can't be cooked because lysine and proline break down at 140 degrees. So when you cook these things, you're losing part of the nutrition you're trying to get.
Okay.
As we all know, heart disease is a major problem in this country. Okay? You don't have to die from it. Okay? Change your diet as per I requested, and please send me a card, and I'll give you more information. And I'll probably wind up sending you some stuff to help you recover.
By the way, when you mentioned the powdered vitamin C, because I know that, does that make a difference whether that's, plain ascorbic acid or what color? And how many times should I? Yeah.
Okay.
I know you said.
Look for veterinary vitamin C.
Veteran, okay.
You're going to find, get it from the vet. okay? Because there'll be a lot less fillers and a lot less BS in it. It's just straight up vitamin C, which is all you really want.
Okay. Right from the vet. Okay.
Yeah, don't.
And
yeah,
by the way, should I be, when you say take 4 grams, is that like for like if I'm up 16 hours or how many hours I'm up divided evenly or?
Yep, that'll work out fine because four grams at once will probably just send you to the bathroom too fast. So by all means, spread it out every 4 hours along with the cayenne, and spread the eggs out with it too. Don't be bashful with that.
And the cayenne, how often? You said
every 4 hours. Every 4 hours.
Okay. All right. Okay. And is there anything I should not for as foods?
Anything you should avoid as far as foods go?
Anything? Right. Is there any particular?
Lose the French fries because when you those cooking oils, if they're not changed on a regular basis, they're usually rancid. The only reason you don't taste it is because they've been cooked so many times. But the nutritional value for the oils is garbage at that point, and all it does is bog your entire system down.
Okay.
All right. You can do without the French fries. If you can get French fries cooked in fresh, clean oil, by all means, have all you want. But if you can't guarantee that, it's not even worth it. It's not even
okay,
worth
not
it
a problem.
At that point. You got it.
Excellent. I appreciate right. that. And these I should spread out. I shouldn't be taking these things together, right? In other words, I should be taking the cayenne separately from vitamin C and from the raw eggs and so on.
Nope. You can take those all together. You can take those all together. Oh. When I need you to start this now because you're actually in danger, okay? If you stress yourself too far, you are going to have a heart attack, and I don't want to see that happen. This is what you're doing right now to make sure that tomorrow you don't drop dead.
Okay.
I'm just being blunt. I'm just being blunt with you just so you understand.
Okay.
When you and I get into contact, I'm going to – give you the suppliers, where to buy it, how to buy it, how to combine it, so that you can make this and turn it into something you can carry in your pocket. The amino acids you can buy separately, and I'll give you the list of the key amino acids that your heart is starving for. Okay? And what'll happen is this will be something you take with you, even though you're still increasing your diet with your heart in mind. Okay, recently, everything's good for your heart. Everything's good for your heart. I get it. Everything is good for your heart, but there are things that are far better for your heart when it's in stress, and that's what you need to be taking in.
Okay, very good. I had 5 eggs today, by the way.
Good. So. Keep it up. No, keep it up. You research what I tell you. You'll get a kick out of it. You'll enjoy it.
Well, I really appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
I'll be sending you a letter in the mail tomorrow.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hey, Jay, this is Daryl. Wouldn't it, using the sodium absorbate, isn't that maybe a little bit better because without the acidic?
Yes and no. For heart disease, we don't mind the acidic because you must have cleaned something using citrus soap, right?
Yeah.
You know that you can use citrus soap to clean things. And what's obviously responsible for that is the high amount of vitamin C. If somebody's dealing with heart disease, we actually want the vitamin C to be the acid of choice in their bloodstream so that it can start to break down the plaque that's built up on the arteries in the heart. Vitamin C is one of the only safe acids to put into your body. I mean, if you've ever cleared out your sinuses using lemon juice, it feels like a near-death experience, but the amount of damage that's done to you is there is none. Okay, it's one of the only acids that your body tolerates beautifully.
Mhm. Well, I know lemon's really good. Multi-use of it.
Yes.
We have a couple more questions. Are you finished, Daryl?
Yeah, I yield.
Okay.
Thank you.
Rob in Oregon, I've unmuted you. You have the floor.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, this is Rod in Oregon.
Hi, Rod.
What would you recommend? I know there's all kinds of reasons why, but for somebody with high blood pressure.
Okay, turmeric and pepper. What's that?
I yield. Yeah.
Right. Take some good quality turmeric.
Okay.
And your ratio is roughly 5 to 1. 5 parts turmeric to 1 pot white pepper. If you can't get white pepper, use black.
Okay.
This can get put into a salt shaker and put out on your table. Label it skull and crossbones so that nobody else touches it.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Start putting that on your eggs. Just treat it just like you would salt and pepper. Just start adding it to your diet. Okay.
Okay. So that turmeric 5 to 1 on the pepper.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That's one of the easiest ways. And the other thing you can add to it, which helps quite a bit, is celery and peanut butter at night.
Okay.
Make celery and peanut butter your snack at night. Okay, and eat a whole bunch of it if you want. Eat the whole thing. Sit there and watch a movie and just chow down on it. And you'll watch your blood pressure come down beautifully. And they sell the little blood pressure thing that you can put on your finger.
Yeah.
Grab yourself one of those.
Okay. I have a regular blood pressure thing, you know, in that too.
Oh, that'll work.
Okay. Hey, well, I appreciate your valuable information and sharing this with everybody like you do. It's something to be grateful for. So thank you again, and I yield.
Thank you.
Okay, the next question is from Scott in New York. Go ahead, Scott.
Hello there, everybody.
Hello.
I haven't had a chance to work. Hey there. I haven't had a chance to work on the lyrics, but I got some new stuff tonight. So you got white hairs in your poop, cayenne pepper in your socks, and a crowbar under your kneecap. Perhaps you're not aware, Michael Jackson is alive. He's The Weeknd, still performing. And he gives a lot of clues. But you mentioned earlier in the show about test for parasites. Was that like with a test strip or going to the doctor so they test your blood? How can you test for parasite urine that you were talking about?
Right. The body has specific things that it uses to fight parasites. One of them is monocytes. So if you have a parasitic infection and you have a CBC with differential, you'll notice that the monocytes are on the high side. Okay? They don't have to be off the chart. They can be, but they don't have to be off the chart. You'll notice that they're on the high side. And that means that your body is probably successfully fighting off a parasitic infection. It's not overgrowing. If it's way out of whack, then the parasites are overgrowing. Okay. The other thing is you test the blood for ammonia. Ammonia is what these little parasites poop out, and it falls on your body to get rid of the ammonia. Now, the simple way is to check for ammonia is to smell somebody's breath. If their breath smells like a toilet, okay, they're very high in ammonia. Okay, think of a fish tank. But if you don't take care of it and it's got fish in it, after a while it has that smell. That's ammonia building up in the fish tank. That's the smell that you'll smell on someone. Sometimes when I meet new clients, I will ask them, may I see your hand? And I will actually smell their hand. okay? And if I get that scent right away, then I'm going to look at that when I'm speaking to them, okay? There's two amino acids that bind to ammonia, okay? And you can supplement with those for 2 or 3 nights and see if it makes a big difference in how you're feeling. If it does, then that's usually an indicator for parasites. L-arginine and I believe it's glycine that bind that. So that's one way to find out. The other way is to simply take a simple parasite cleanse and start to use it. Check your own poop. It's your poop. Nobody's going to check it for you. And, you know, see what you find. And if you find something in there, well, you find something in there.
Will I make money like I do on the job? I'm a sewer and drain expert. 30 years.
Yeah. There you go. That's the way to do it.
For years, I had to assume what was in the pipe because we didn't have cameras for most of those years. And then when we got the cameras, I used to do like real high-tech stuff, putting liners in there and stuff and running them through man. It was nothing like I was imagining in all those years. The snake just goes like on the bottom, like 3 inches of this big pipe. Sometimes they're enormous. So and everything was growing from the top and stuff. However, a few more questions. Mentioned something tonight about lines in the feet, fingernails is good. I have lines in my fingernails and toenails for years and years, but not the kind you were talking about tonight. Mine are, like, as they grow out, they're lines, which probably might have, I'm feeding back a lot. I can barely hear myself. You can hear me?
Just barely, yeah, it's level.
If I talk lower, will that make less feedback?
Is somebody on a speakerphone?
I believe it's because Jay is hearing me through his phone, and his receiver mic is picking up me and doing it. It's the same problem we had when John Hirschberger was on the calls each time. The person talking had a mute while they heard Jay's answer. But I was talking. It's a little bit different. Anyway, if you can hear me better now, I'm away from my microphone. Can you hear me better?
That's better.
Yes, that is better.
So I was too close to my microphone. So, okay. So I've asked a couple of people this, and no one was able to give me an answer. But I've had for years, I notice ridges in my nails when I do it, like, in between finger and finger and toes. And my nails grow fast. I got to cut them every 2 days. Even my beard sometimes.
Really?
But I had another question, too, if I could tag you two at once.
Yep.
Did you just mention arginine as far as the parasites? Because I remember a guy in the league of Dr. Hilda Clark and the other doctor you mentioned that doctors don't lie. He's hilarious, too. You mentioned his name
at the beginning
of the show. Because I was just watching something from Dr. Hilda Clark and recommending to my friend that is Dr. Joel Wallach. He's been studying under him for 35 years. So anyway, I have two things, really. I can't trust where to buy stuff anymore. Everything has been infiltrated, even simple things like castor oil or even the slippery elm bark. Although the slippery elm bark, my friend that does the tea that you cured your cancer with, the Essaic tea, she said she has that.
Yep.
She does that with her Essaic tea operation. So the deal is, I don't know where to buy. I've not done a lot of research on my teeth that you assisted me with last time, and you were the one that said, where did I write that? You said the neem oil powder. That was you that said that, right? To regrow the tooth enamel?
Yep.
It was.
The reason that I have a lab is that I need to make as much of this as I possibly can so that I'm not at the mercy of whoever, whatever regulator has just shut down the company I needed or the processes they had to change or and I've told this story before where I have a formula that I've made for years that worked perfectly for years, and then one of my suppliers decides he's going to change his manufacturing, and the next thing I know, my synergistic effect is in the toilet, and what I'm making isn't even working anymore. So I've actually moved to the point where I make as much as I can for myself, by myself. I mean, there's no other way for me to do it.
Because I have a lot more other research. It's a man I know in a group I'm in on R&D teams for 5 years, True Vision of Peace. And we have a guy that builds med beds out of tanning, old tanning beds that used to have lights in them. He's been doing a lot of years. His knowledge is way, I'm friends with a lot of people with knowledge off the charts, including on this call. But he had mentioned similar kind of things that you mentioned. You mentioned the Neem oil powder. Eggshells came from a different source, but eggshells help with healing and regrowing the teeth and reverse negative effects. And this guy, his name is, I forget his name right now, he recommended dentite, which, and hydroxyapatite
yep.
toothpaste, which is the crystal your teeth are made of. That's made of Dr. Jen's hydroxyapatite nano toothpaste. And xylitol gum, I just listened to a video back from August today and took these notes that he tried to tell me about. I've been so busy, I can't keep up with anything. I didn't even get to do the mother solution I told you the last time over the call. I was working on that. It's sitting under my bed.
Yep.
I'm just overwhelmed. So I don't even know where to buy these products. I don't trust. I just go to Amazon and have to get stuff. I don't trust to buy products, anything, anymore because of the biodigital convergence and the nano stuff that's in the patches and all this. So I'll yield there. That's a lot of stuff. I'll listen for response.
Yep. Yep. The nanotechnology, knowing how to get rid of the nanotechnology is key. Okay. Sodium chlorite will break it down, and borax will flush it out, just so you know. Okay. I understand that we have a serious problem with what they're putting in our food, but that is a nice 1-2 punch that will keep you from having anything nanite-oriented staying in your body. Once it assembles and it forms itself, it ain't going anywhere. You have to break it down in order to get rid of it. So if it forms inside of you in any meaningful way, you use the sodium chlorite to break it down and the borax to flush it out. Okay? Not everyone's going to understand what I'm talking about right now because some of that's some really high-tech stuff.
I'm
some
sorry.
Of you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Some Disney thing popped up I was trying to add. So I never heard of sodium chloride. I was assuming it was boron. So boron is not sodium chloride? What is sodium chloride?
Sodium chloride, you're going to have to look for that online. You're going to find it in the form of flakes. Okay, when you find it, buy a small amount of it and then contact me directly and I'll tell you how to use it. It's a little bit complicated to work with, but it's really not that bad.
Okay, and I was going to try and locate flakes of Epsom salt because the other Epsom salt we get from CVS is not usable for the humans. I'm going to look for that too. But I am trying to get my list of stuff together. I still don't have a place to purchase it though. So I'll yield. Thank you so much. And I did send you a letter thing. It was very difficult. My mom had to send it. I didn't add to it the question you asked, what disease would you cure if you cure a disease? I would cure the not having your own brain to think out problems. People are staring at these boxes and this technology, and they don't have free thought anymore, and it gets really, really deep. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, and that is what happened to our society. You can't speak reality to people that believe these lies. You can't mix lies with reality. You can't mix, you know, sweeteners and coloring in a tainted pot of food. You have to remove the taintedness. And nobody removed taintedness and not adding real information in their brain to process with all the lies. It will never work. So I yield again.
You're welcome. You brought up a very good point, and we all have the the liver cleanse, the kidney cleanse, the bowel cleanse. The chocolate that I make is a brain cleanse. It's designed to clear the toxins specifically out of your brain and replace them with the nutrition that belongs in your brain. Okay? It's not an easy process. It takes time, but it is absolutely worth it. Okay. Anybody else have any more questions?
Yes, we have. Gloria, I'd like for you to ask Jay your question that you put in the chat, if you don't mind. You'll have to do a *6 and the number 1 to unmute yourself. Well, I can't unmute her, but I'll read what she put in the chat. Can we use natural vitamin C from herbs and fruit? If so, I heard you can use less. 1 gram equals 4 milligram natural vitamin C? Question mark.
Yes, if you want to go from a natural source as much as you can, most of the vitamin C that's commercially sold right now is actually made by Aspergillus, which is better known as black mold, which is toxic to the human body.
Nice.
So, yeah, I know the thing. You don't want to know some of the things I know.
I'm sure.
Here's the good part about vitamin C, though. Horses know that that's a mold, and when they smell it, they won't eat it. So veterinary vitamin C is usually much more pure than what they're feeding to humans.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. Mm-hmm. But the nice thing is I can buy my vitamin C 5 pounds at a time, though.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
What is it in powder form? Is it in capsule form?
Powdered form.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought.
Yep. Powdered form. And I will capsulate things if I need to, or I will give you things in raw form. Now, in raw form, that means you can start sprinkling it on your food and find out what it goes well with, so that you don't even have to take a pill. Okay, and for the people that are okay eating pills, I can capsulate it and do it that way. And I honestly have a lot of people who come back and they tell me that, hey, you know that the heart formula mixes really well with lemonade, and did you know that your hormone balance goes really good on pancakes? So that makes for some very interesting feedback.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have one more question back. Krisma has another question.
Okay.
Go ahead, Krisma. Krisma?
Oh, here I am. I just wanted to actually make a comment. Well, I wanted to find out, number one, if you had a website. And number two, I wanted to mention that I realized that I started shopping in all of the ethnic stores in my neighborhood. Holy Land from the Palestinians, and if you have any ethnic stores in your areas, you can read the ingredients of the foods that they have, and some of them have much less chemicals, and the meat that they use, whether it be halal or kosher, is a better quality and cleaner and better processed. So that's where I'm doing my shopping now, is staying out of the Cubs and the American stores and shopping in the stores where they get their food. If it is processed, they get it from their own country or neighboring countries.
Yes.
And the processing is healthier there with more restrictions.
Yes, indeed. Now I gotta help you with this. I travel a bit, not truly a lot, but I do travel a bit. And one of the things that I've noticed is that if people are given a choice of a local farm or the Stop and Shop or Walmart, they're going to the local farm now. Hands down, they're going to the local farm. The only time you Stop and Shop and Walmart are being abandoned. They are not the big stores they used to be. If they're the only store for miles, they're packed. but only when they are the only store for miles. Wow. I've definitely noticed that. Whether people want to admit it or not, they're figuring out that, you know, eating this heavily processed diet is one of the things that's killing people.
Right.
I appreciate your input. Any store that is not part of a giant chain involved in factory farming and factory processing is absolutely worth looking at. And don't be afraid to share that knowledge. In other words, if you find somebody who's got good, clean meat, oh, God, I will post that somewhere and let people know where to go. You know, if somebody's growing, if somebody's got 80 chickens in their backyard and they're producing a dozen or five dozen eggs a day, tell your neighbors, let them go and help and purchase those to support a local farm. The war that they have waged against local farming and gardening has been horrendous.
I know they've tried to get people to register their backyard gardens because they want to know who's growing food, and at least here where I live in Columbia Heights, you can keep chickens, you know, so there are more people getting chickens and so forth.
Absolutely, during wartime, they had something called a victory garden. And everyone was expected to grow their own food so that we could send more food overseas to support our troops. And they were called victory gardens. And everybody who was patriotic wanted to have the most beautiful victory garden. And now they've done the exact opposite. They don't want you to produce anything. They just want you to be a consumer.
Well, they're not winning.
No, they're not, because, like I said, I'm watching people. A lot of the stuff that I talk about now, I couldn't even talk about 10 years ago. 20 years ago, forget it. I would be treated like a whack-a-loon. Nobody would talk to me. It didn't matter that I was right. It's just that nobody was ready to listen. People are finally getting to the point where they're ready to start listening.
And did you say you had a website?
No, I can't.
Okay, no problem. I understand.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think Gloria had more of a question, but she's been unable to unmute herself. So that's all the questions that I see on the call board at the moment.
All right, good. One of the things that everyone has to remember is that you're in charge of your own health. And one of the most important things you need to do is stay alive and keep your brain clear. Okay? That has been a challenge, a very big challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And no one explains to you that your brain is 98% fat. And taking in fat-soluble nutrition and clean fat is one of the best things you can do for your own brain. To detox it, there's a whole bunch of things you can do, okay? I've incorporated that into a chocolate that I use on a daily basis, and everyone who uses it notices a profound difference, sometimes immediately, sometimes over time. Okay, please protect your brains.
Okay, everyone, if you want to get in touch with Jay, send him a letter or a card, as he said. His address, again, is J. Casey, 29 Maple Avenue, Middletown, Rhode Island, 02842. And you can, after the call, you can replay the last few minutes of this call and write that down if you didn't get it written down. Anything else that you want to add? Otherwise, Daryl, you want to close out?
Yeah, sure. Well, Jay, we want to thank you for coming on and for sharing the gift of knowledge, you know, that God has revealed to you through experience. But this is all part of self-governing, is learning how to take care of your health. And if you don't have health, you don't have life. because it's life is miserable when you're sick and having ailments that really hinder your ability to get around. So this is a true blessing to be able to hear remedies that are natural, that have no side effects, and that's not poison, but is truly coming from what God has provided for us here on earth. So we want to thank you for sharing. But if there's anybody new on, if there's anybody new on the call that does not receive the notices for the Tuesday or Thursday night calls and would like to receive them, you can send Phyllis an email. She'll want your first name, your state, who invited you to the call, and a phone number. We do not share any contact information, but if somebody would want to reach out to you, they will send Phyllis an email, and she will pass that on to you, and it'll be up to you to reach out to them at your convenience. So, Phyllis, you want to give out your email?
Yes, blueridge1121@gmail.com. And for the individual that came on as restricted, I would appreciate it if you could please put your name in there. I think you're the same one I wrote an email to. We'd like to have your name and your state when you sign on to the call. So please do that in the future. And I yield.
Okay, well, next Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, we're going to have Ed George, and he's going to be talking about property classification, you know, industrial, commercial, or residential, which are all commercial terms. And then the following Tuesday, we're going to have Ray. He's going to be talking about the notice of default on administrative process. And on Fridays, if you want to join a call with Edward Mann with ABC Health, that starts at, it'd be at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and that would be 7:30 Mountain Time and 6:30 Pacific. And that phone number is 206-806-9826. And that is Edward Mann with abchealth.info. If you want to go to the website, it's abchealth.info. And again, we want to thank you, Jay, for coming on, and sure appreciate hearing these remedies that are so simple. You know, I've never heard this remedy for the kidney problems, but I try to keep my my body, you know, in the seven range. In the low seven range, so that has worked out very good for me. So that is those are good numbers. So
yes.
Well, is there anybody that would like to close in a word of prayer?
I would like to say a prayer for Dave. I really don't do my prayers vocally, as I'm a visionary, but I haven't heard you mention Dave. We lost Harvey Van Dyke because he hit his head, and then he never recovered from that. So Dave is really a wealth of information to these calls for so many years. So I'd like to say to everyone on the call to please, like I have been, put some thought energy towards that man's soul. Okay, thank you.
Yes, Dave Robinson from Kansas. He was doing some work outside with some animals, and he tripped and he fell and he hit his head on a pail. Iron pail, and he broke his skull cap loose, and he's in critical condition, and would appreciate, you know, if you could lift him up in prayer, and we'll just commit it unto the Lord. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the information that was shared this evening. We just thank you, Lord, for the knowledge that you have given Jay that he has been willing to pass on to each of us, and we just pray that we can continue to have that attitude to pass things forward and to help our neighbor and to help those in need that may not have the direction that was of the information that was shared this evening. And we just thank you, Lord, for all the natural remedies that you've provided just in our local communities, in the different areas. And we just ask you, Lord, to help us to gather that knowledge and be able to learn how to apply it and utilize it to restore this nation back to being a healthy country once again and get away from the poisons and the preservatives that are causing obesity and different health issues. And we just ask you, Lord, to give us the strength, and we just pray that you can renew the spirit of this country back to recognizing the principles that you've given us to follow. And we ask you, Lord, to forgive us where we fail you and just deliver us from these times of darkness that has overshadowed this nation, and that we can return back to recognizing you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that you are. And we just commit all these things into your hands in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you all for coming on, and Lord be with you until we meet again.